This is Shir number two for Ksuvos Daf Yud Aleph Daf HaShavua. We are 13 lines from the Mishnah. Yud Aleph and Aleph, 13 lines up from the Mishnah at Masiv Rava. Remind ourselves what we're doing. We had a statement of Rav Yosef, which was a little bit above halfway down in the Gemara, where Rav Yosef had said, Higdilu Yicholim Limchos. We said that once the children who were a ger katan became, once they became older, old enough, so they became bar bat mitzvah, they have the ability now to be mochet, to protest, to renounce the gerus. So, and we spoke about the fact that the Mishnah seems to indicate that that's not so. Because otherwise, why would we give a girl a ksuba? Let's say she got married when she was young. Why would we give her a ksuba? If in fact she's now going to renounce her, once she hits 12, she's going to renounce the Judaism completely. She's going to get a ksuba. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the Gemara says, no, when she comes to Gedola, so then she's mocha at that point. We're not going to give her the ksuba. We'll give her the ksuba only after that time. That was the discussion we had above. And once she becomes a gedola and she's doesn't renounce and she accepts the Judaism, so then at that point we can give her a ksuba. Masiv Rava. So Rava now is going to challenge Rav Yosef's statement, Higdilu Yicholim Limchos, that they at when they hit 12, a girl who was a ketana when she became a gioris is able to be moche. We're going to challenge this for the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Ksuvos. What do we learn in the beginning of the third parak? So the beginning of the third parak speaks about the din of knas. A girl is raped, a girl is violated. So when she's a nara, when she is between 12 and 12 and a half, so the Torah speaks about a nara being raped, and the halacha is that 50 shekel, 50 selah, is given to the father. The Mishnah then has a discussion about a ketana as well, whether she also is going to have a din of knas. And this, and the Mishnah has a list of people who you would have thought would not have a halacha of knas, and we'll learn that later, but indeed they do. So, Elu Naros, Sheishlem Knas. These are the girls, Naros, who will have a din of knas. Habala Mamzeres is even if a man rapes a Mamzeres. Vala Nesina, a girl who descended from the Nesinim, that a group of the Givonim, which we'll talk about when we learn Kiddushin, hopefully. Vala Kusis, and a Kusis who descends from the Kusim, a whole group of people as well. Vala Hagyo, not Jewish, at least, but had a semi-Jewish status in the days of the Mishnah. Vala Gioris, that's for our purposes, the Gioris. This is where a girl who's a Gioris, who had converted, if she's a Nara, there is a din of Knas of paying 50 shekel for the Knas. Vala Shvuya, and a girl who's taken captive. Vala Shifcha, and a maidservant. Sheniftu, Vishnez Gairu, Vishnez Tacharu. So this is going like our Mishnah on the Gioris and the Shvuya and the Shifcha, all in cases where they were redeemed, or the conversion happened, or they were set free, when they were Pechusos, Mibinos, Shaloshonim, Viyom Echad, when they were less than three, so therefore we know they are a besula, yesh lehem knas. So the bottom line is, the din of knas applies to a girl who's a besula, so it has to be a list of people who not only are Jewish, but it has to be where we assume that they're going to be besula. So of course, as we know, since they were emancipated, freed, or converted, whatever it may be, taken out of captive before three, we know the Besulim are going to regenerate, so we can make an assumption that they are Besulos, and that's why when they're Anara, when they're 12, between 12 and 12 and a half, if they're violated, we assume they have the din of a Besula, and therefore there's a din of Knas, because the din of Knas, the violator pays Knas only if it's a Besula, Nara Besula. So now says the Gemara, V'yamrit Higdilu, is that now we're challenging from this Mishnah Rav Yosef's statement. V'yamrit Higdilu Yicholim Limchos, if you're going to tell me when they get older, let's focusing on the Gioris, where there's a Gioris who we said converted, and when she was less than three, we're telling you that there's a payment of Knas by the one who violates. Hold on. If when they get older, they can be Mocha, Yahavino la Knas, de Azlava Achla Bigiusa, you're going to give her a Knas, that's 50 sel, that's a lot of money. 50 shekel, for whom? For a woman who eventually, after she's, 13, 14, 15, she's going to say, you know what, I've given up on the Judaism, and you're going to pair the Knas after violating her when she's a Nara, when she was 12, be now that she's going to live as a non-Jew, there is no knas for a non-Jew. So the Gemara answers, like it said before, v'chi gadla. No, we're only going to give her the knas when she becomes a gadola. And so we're not going to give her the knas before. So at that moment, she's already a gadola. We assume she's accepting Judaism. Said the Gemara, why? V'chi gadla nami mamachia v'nafka. What do you mean? When she becomes a gadola, she could also be mocha, protest, and leave Judaism. And now she's going to have this huge payment of knas. So the Gemara says, no. Kevin Sheikdila Sha'achas Velo Michasa Shuv Eino Yecholo Limchos. Since she already, this is again defending Rav Yosef. Once she becomes a Gedola and hasn't been Mocha, she can't be Mocha anymore. So it's at that moment that we know she's going to remain Jewish. And that's why we have the right to pay her the Knas, knowing that she's not going to be living as a non-Jew with this large payment of Knas, which is only in, which only a Jewess is entitled to. So that is defending Rav Yosef once again. We had a biased question from our Mishnah, and we had a question on and Rav's question from the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak. So the Gemara wants to know, why did Abaye challenge from our Mishnah, not the other Mishnah? Why did Rav challenge from the other Mishnah and not our Mishnah? So says the Gemara, Abaye lo amar k'Rava. Abaye didn't ask like Rav did. Why not? Hasam k'nasa. Over there, I would not be troubled by the fact that there's a payment of knas for a girl who potentially may never be Jewish. Why? Because so what? So the guy has to pay a knas. We don't want the chote to be niskar. We don't want the one who sinned to profit. So if in the end, in certain cases, she's going to renounce her Judaism and she'll end up as a non-Jew with all of this money, so what? At least the violator is being fined for what he did wrong. So I would never be troubled by that halacha. That wouldn't pose a challenge to Rav Yosef, who said, oh, the girls can be moche. What does it mean? She'll become not Jewish and be paid. Who cares? It's a knas, and we want the person to have to pay the knas. And Rav Alomar Kabai, so why didn't Rav a challenge from our Mishnah over here on top of the page? So the answer is, because the question was what? From the question of Ksuba, hey, why would you allow this girl who ends up being not Jewish, renouncing Judaism, to have this Ksuba? So the answer is, Ksuba hainu taima shelo tehe kala be'inav lahotziah. The whole purpose of the Ksuva, as we mentioned in the past, is a takana de rabbanon, in order that it's not so simple for a husband to divorce his wife. He realizes there's a financial strain, a compensation upon him. So that would be true in all cases. So since right now this woman may be Jewish and may end up remaining Jewish, even if she could potentially renounce the Judaism, so what? I want the husband to have, in the back of his mind, this burden of potentially having to pay the Ksuva, and if the fact that this woman may renounce Judaism, that's not our problem. So that's why Rava would not have asked the challenge from our Mishnah. Next Mishnah, Yud Aleph and Aleph, bottom of the page. Ha-gadol shebalak tana. You have a gadol. Now here we're going to define, usually gadol means bar mitzvah, a gadola means bat mitzvah. Does not mean that here. Here we're speaking about whether physically the bia is a bia of this child. So the gadol means a where you have someone who has the status of someone who is 9 years old, whose bia is considered a bia, sheba laktana, who has a bia with someone who is less than 3 years old. So that is, that has the status of, that bia has the status, the Mishnah will discuss whether it has the status of the bia or not, but this is a gadol, sheba laktana, where we'll see that it's not considered to having relations at all. The katan sheba lakdola, or you have a katan, where he's under 9 years old. If you look at Rashi, the katan, pachos mi ben, second Rashi, well, two Rashi's of Mishnah. Haba laktana, pachusa mi bas shalosh she'en bia sabia wai, shari bisula chosen, they return. The katan, pachos mi ben teisha, shamu chachamim ein bia sobia, uba lakdola. He has bia with a gdola, with someone, a girl who's over three, umukas eitz, or third case in the Mishnah. You have a mukas eitz, we have a woman who was injured literally by a piece of wood, there's some injury there, and therefore she, the hymen had been ruptured. So in all of these cases, Ksuva son Masayim, Divir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, once these girls get married, their Ksuva remains 200. They take all the cases. The first case, she's a Ktana, so she's meaning she's under 3 years old, so the Basulma will return, and therefore she has the status of Basula, her Ksuva is 200. The Katan that had been with the Gedola, so the Katan who's under 9 doesn't affect the Gedola. Anyway, it's not going to affect the Basulim. Because and they'll never be ruptured because he's only a cut and he's on a nine, he's not Roy Labia, and therefore when this gadol eventually gets married, she's a basula. And Omukaseitz, which we'll see, is subject to Machlokas Tanoim. Rabbi Meir believes that's in Omukaseitz also. The fact that he's injured and doesn't have a basulim, but she was never with a man, so that doesn't she doesn't lose her status of being a basula just because she may not have the basulim physically, anatomically, but she never had relations with anyone. So her ksuva remains 200. But v'chachamim omrim, mukaseitz, ksuva samane. But the chachamim disagree. A mukaseitz, the ksuva is only 100. No different than a ba'ula, than a girl who's had relations before, because the bottom line is, she doesn't have, anatomically, she doesn't have the besula. Mishnah continues, besula almana. This is really the mirror image of the mishnayos we had before. Besula almana of gerusha v'chalutzim and asuin. Here's a girl who didn't have relations, but she's a besula in that regard, but she's a widow or a divorcee or a chalutza from nisuin, meaning she'd already entered the chuppah. Look at this three lines bottom from the bottom of the Rashi's, three from the bottom, three minan nisuin, kigon shenichnasa lechuppah, umeis bala, so becheska shelo nivala. He died at a point where she still has a chazaka that she is a besula. Nonetheless, Kesuva Samana, says Rashi, im nises la'acher, she marries now someone else after, unfortunately, her husband passed away after being in the chuppah, though they never had be a Rishona, or the case of a chalutza or a grusha as well. Stam ksuvasa mane. Debecheskas be'ula kaima mishenichnasa l'chuppah. We assume once she enters the chuppah, she has a chazaka of being a be'ula, and even though physically, anatomically, she's a besula, her ksuva is only a mane. Turn the page. Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Avein lehem tanas besulim. And if their husband been obviously fine, sees she's not a basula, he has no tain against her. Top Rashi, Ein yachol lahafsida osa mane, he can't cause her to lose that 100 zuz. V'loma b'cheskas basula nesas, if I married you as a basula, v'are michi mekachtos, and this is a mekachtos, he can't claim that. Why? Because she's not, doesn't have the status of being basula, even though we know anatomically she should be. No tain as basula. Once you enter the chuppah, you lose that status, and the ksuva value reflects that, but so is the fact that there's no Tainus Basulim. Mishnah continues, Hagioris Vashvui Vashivcha Vashenifdu Vashenizgairu Vashenizdachru Yeseros Albados Shalom 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 Yom Echad. This is where, had they been violated or lived with a man earlier than that, the Basulim. The potential, since it was they were older, so it's possible that they would no longer be besulos. Nothing, it would not have regenerated, because this happened beyond the 3-year point. Then ksuva san mare. So they're like considered becheskas beula. The ksuva is only 100, not 200. Valentinus besulim. And in the second marriage, not only is it when they finally get married, not only is the ksuva only 100, but there's no tanas besulim for the same reason. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Katan haba ala gadola asa'a mukaseitz. So this is very interesting. Here, we're combining the cases. We're saying that haba ala gadola has a certain status, with it's parallel. One who has relate, a katan, who's under 9, who has deal with the girl who's over 3. So he makes her into a mukaseitz. Now, we had said in the Mishnah had said that if you have a katan sheba ala gdola, so we said that was, everyone agreed, the ksuva is going to be a 200. Okay, so look at Rashi. Asa mukaseitz, first Rashi on the Gemara, nihi granted dein bia so bia. You're right, we said the bia of a katan on a gdola, since he's below 9, is doesn't have the status of a bia. Miu logara me'eitz haniska, it shouldn't be any less, any worse than a piece of wood that penetrated her. Ula rabana de pligia mukaseitz ksuva samana. Yeah, you're right. The Rabbanan, therefore, who said by Mukaseitz, who disagreed with Rabbi Meir, and said it's not 200, it's 100, they would argue on this case as well. It will only be 100. V'chein le'inyan kohen gadol. And so too when it comes to a kohen gadol. Disnan in lo yisas Mukaseitz, hanami asirle. So it would be usher to him. If a kohen gadol can't marry Mukaseitz, he shouldn't be able to marry a girl who was a gadola, who had relations with a katan, a boy under 9, because she shouldn't be any worse than a Mukaseitz. Das Eitz. Of course, we'll see if you paid attention to the Mishnah carefully, you would see that this didn't seem to be a case where the Chachamim argued. They only argued on Mukas Eitz and did not argue on a Katana Bala Gdola, it seemed that everyone agreed that there would be 200. So we'll have to deal with that. Says the Gemara, Ki Amrisa, we're now six lines down from the top. Ki Amrisa, Kame de Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel, this is Rav Yehuda speaking. When I said this to Shmuel, Amar, he said, no, ain Mukas Eitz Bebasser. Sorry, that doesn't work. You can't become a Mukas Eitz Bebasser, meaning the through the, having relations, you don't become a Mukas Eitz. Mukas Eitz is through a piece of wood, and that's it. This is cannot have any effect at all. Some learn this statement by itself, which means it wasn't that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab this statement and then I said it in front of Shmuel, but rather the machlokes is right here between Rab and Shmuel, says the Gemara. So again, it was Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, and then I said in front of Shmuel, this is saying it was said by itself, meaning it was the machlokas was, look at Rashi, ba'ape nafsha, says Rashi, below Gavrei. Dulama Rabbi Yehuda, mishmei de Rav, mishmei de Shmuel, ela inu gufayu iflugbayu, it was Rav and Shmuel themselves who argued about it. So here we go. Katana bala gadola, Rav amar asa amukaseit. Rav himself said it's made mukaseit, it makes her a mukaseit. And the Rabbanon would say, the Chachamim would say the ksuva goes down to 100, just like a mukaseit. Ushmuel amar, ein mukaseit bebasar. So of course, Masiv Rav Oshaya from our Mishnah. He challenges this statement from our Mishnah. Gadol, Shabosha balaktana, the Katana bala. These are the cases in the mission. Umukas eitz, three cases. Ksuva san masayim. Divir Rabbi Meir. Vachachamim omim. Mukas eitz. Ksuva san maneh. So right away, what do you see? The Mishnah had our case, Katan, the case of Rav and Shmuel, Katan Abal Agdola. And what did it say there? It's in the Mishnah too, and the Mishnah didn't have a machlokas in that case. It only had a machlokas by Mukas Eitz. So it shows you that a Katan Abal Agdola is not a case of Mukas Eitz. So Amar Rava Hachi Kamar. Now this is what the Mishnah means. You should read the Mishnah the following way. Gadol Abal Aktana, that's Velo Klum. That's nothing. That you don't have to worry, nothing's happening. Depachos mikan kenosin etzba ba'ayin. Because a girl less than three, it's like literally putting your finger in your eye, it tears a little bit, and then it goes away, and then the tear comes back. So that's the same thing. That's the analogy to the Besulim returning. V'katan abal agdola, though, where the girl is a gdola, is over three, he's a katan, yes, it's true, he's under nine, but that kind of penetration, asa'a mukaseit, that doesn't make her into a mukaseit. Umukaseit gufa palukta de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanon. And the case of mukaseit itself is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon. Where Rabbi Meir says it's 200, the Rabbanon said it's 100. But when the Rabbanon said 100 for mukaseit, they weren't only referring to mukaseit, where she is ruptured by a piece of wood. They were speaking about the previous case as well in the Mishnah, where it was katana balaktana alagdola, where she has the status of a mukaseit as well.